Welcome to Blind Squirrel Radio. And Robert is out on spring break, even though there's no spring. But we do have Kidge in studio.
Yo, 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 what is up?
The sky. And I'm your host, Brad. And we're going to investigate the Shield of Faith tonight. So sticking for that. No, not my wife. The other kind of faith. We'll be back in a minute. And that's Thousand Foot Crutch. The end is where we begin. And that's our new favorite song. So, hello, Kidge. How you been?
Oh, you know. Been living the dream.
Living the dream. Me too. Yeah. Which dream is that?
The one where I'm an insomniac. Not an insomniac. No. The one that falls asleep randomly?
Oh, narcolepsy.
Yeah, a narcoleptic.
Oh, the narcoleptic dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Not really. I mean, it is, but you don't really have narcolepsy.
No.
Wait, what's the one where you cuss all the time, like, with uncontrollably?
Tourette's.
Yeah. What if you were Tourette's narcoleptic?
Then you'd be a sleep talker?
No, it was like you'd be asleep, and then all of a sudden you just wake up and cuss, and then you go right back to sleep. Would that be hilarious? That'd be like the funniest person I know.
I imagine that would be rather restless. Not the best for sleeping.
No. All right, everybody. Well, welcome to the show. Tonight we are going to investigate the next part of the armor of God. Now, we've been in Ephesians. Ephesians 6, to be exact. And we are in verse 16, where it talks about the shield of God. Putting on the full armor of God. Not the shield, I'm sorry. And here we go. So, why don't you read Ephesians 6:16?
Alrighty. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Wicked one. That's not Robert. We're not talking about Robert there.
No.
Okay, good. All right. Well, so here's my notes on the subject.
Do tell.
First, the shield. And Romans of this era, when Paul wrote this, used two kinds of shield. I don't know what the first kind was called, but it was a small round shield, and it was used in hand-to-hand combat. It was meant to provide protection from a sword blow or a spear thrust, but not to inhibit the movements of the carrier of that shield, and it's strapped onto your arm. It's not that important because we're not talking about that shield. We're talking about the other kind of shield that the Romans used at the time called a thurios.
Well, that was actually the Greek name for it.
Yes.
The Latin name for it was the scutum.
Scutum. There you go. See? Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul's referring to here. And it is a giant shield. This is the giant shield. This is the kind you can live under, okay? Mm-hmm. It's about 5 foot tall and 4 to 5 foot tall. I think it was right in there. They had their own measurement. But anyway.
About 4 feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was designed to protect your entire body. You could literally like kneel down behind it and completely be invisible to the enemy, and with maybe your little helmet sticking out or whatever. But you carried it on your arm. It strapped onto your arm, and it would protect you. Now it was usually made of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Or as far as I know, it was made of wood. That's what the notes say. It was made of wood.
Right.
And it had a covering over it so that it could not catch on fire. It had a leather cover over the front of the shield, which had been treated. And so that if a fiery dart stuck into the shield, it would be extinguished with this, the leather would not burn. And it had a thing on it to keep it from burning. Mm-hmm. So this was very important because these were the main weapons of the day. And it was meant so that a row of soldiers could then line up and have just enough space in there to put their spears in between the shields. And it would be like a solid wall. And if you were running up to this wall, you're going to get stabbed by a spear or hit a wall of shields.
Mm-hmm.
And they could even, in the second row, could even raise their shields over their heads and cover two people.
Yep.
And they could do this from the back so that if you shot a volley of arrows at a Roman group, legion, whatever, Roman group of soldiers coming at you, they could protect themselves completely from those arrows.
Yep. And that was actually called the testudo, which is the Latin word for turtle or tortoise.
There you go. Look at that. Isn't he awesome? Mm-hmm. So he's like a walking Wikipedia.
Yeah. No, I just have Wikipedia open.
Now, these fiery darts that it saw. So let's go to the fiery darts. Do you have any more about the shield?
Yeah, so we already said what it was called, and you already said that it was covered in leather. On the front of it, there was actually this metal embossed thing on the center of it, right where the hand went, that was called an umbo, and it was actually this metal dome that they could actually use as a punching weapon if someone got really up close, so they could use it to push people away and that sort of thing.
Cool.
Let's see what else. It was also large enough, and it was used by General Pompey at one point in setting up an ambush. You could hide people behind it. If you crouched down, you could hide behind it and hide your numbers so that the enemy couldn't see how many you actually had until they were up close, and it was too late.
Too late. Mm-hmm. We're going to kill you now.
Yep.
Well, the fiery darts they're talking about here, and research on that was fairly interesting as well. Mm-hmm. They had a way of actually making a arrow that was hollow. They used reeds. And in these reeds, and they would fill it with alcohol. Okay? And then they would shoot this, and there would be a... when it struck the target, then the reed... They would wrap a wick. Wick? Yeah, wick. Mm-hmm. On the outside of this. And I've got a little diagram I can't show you. But the arrow would actually, when it hit the target, the arrow was sharp on both sides. And so it would stick into the target, but it would also cause the arrow to split. And then the little wick on the end right above the arrowhead was already lit. Okay, so they shoot this thing, the wick is burning, and it hits the target, and then it splits the arrow, releasing the alcohol inside and causing, you know, a flame. Mm-hmm. And so this was not meant to kill you. In fact, the arrowhead's design were not very heavy, and they weren't meant to actually penetrate like into you, inside of you. They were meant to hit you and cause a cut or stick, but mainly what they were trying to do was break the arrow when it hit, so that mm-hmm. then flame and burning alcohol would spill on you. And this would cause a great amount of fear and pain and screaming upon the person who had been hit. And the fiery darts of our enemy, which is the wicked one mentioned here, mm-hmm. do the same thing. They are not meant to destroy us. I mean, sometimes he wants to ultimately to destroy all of us. But part of his plan is to cause us to cry out to, I mean, how many Christians do you know that ask you to pray for them on a daily basis because they're in some kind of mess? Mm-hmm. You know, and we don't, I mean, we should be praying for the lost, but we end up praying for each other most of the time. And it's because of these fiery darts that the enemy is shooting at us. Well, what's our protection against the fiery darts? Let's go on to faith. Did you have more to say about the fiery darts?
No, not necessarily. I know that the Romans themselves carried sort of darts that weren't necessarily flammable, but they were actually very easily thrown with the hand and were actually decently heavy, so they'd stick in the shield and actually weigh the shield down. But I think those are different darts.
Okay. There you go. All right, so let's talk about the faith. The faith is our shield against these darts. And there's a dog. And the faith...
Sorry, that's Caleb.
So let's talk about what the Bible says about faith. Faith, it's impossible to please God without faith. Okay? That's Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance. Faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. That doesn't mean that we have blind faith, or where logic stops, what we know stops, then faith continues on from there. No, faith is built on what we know, but it's things that are unseen. Yeah. And I give the example to my kids who has more faith. The person who's walking on 2 inches of ice and stepping lightly across the stream, or somebody who is crossing the stream on 2 feet of ice and is proudly just kind of walking along, jumping up and down, not worried a bit.
I'm going to go with the 2 inches.
And you'd be wrong.
The person who has more faith?
The person who has more faith is the person who is the person who has more faith in the ice is the person who's walking on 2 feet of ice.
That's true.
So, and that's I think that's part of the problem of the way we look at things. We say, well, the person who's walking on 2 inches of ice is exercising his faith. You know, that God will keep him from falling in the ice. But I'm talking about who has more faith in what they're walking on. And that is the person who's on 2 feet of ice. And so when we rest our worries and our cares on God, then the more we know about God, the more we understand God, the closer our relationship is with God, the more faith we have.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. So let's talk about, how do we increase our faith? How do we strengthen our faith? I hinted on it right there. And, Hebrews 11 is a great chapter for faith, by the way. But if we know we get faith initially from God, it's a gift He gives us. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that even our faith to accept Christ is given to us by God. And but how do we, once we have that, once we've been given faith, given the faith enough to accept the Lord, then how do we increase our faith? And it says that in where's that at? I lost Romans 10:32. That faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so the more we read the Bible, and the more we strengthen our relationship with the Lord, then the stronger our faith is. And really reading the Bible is the best way to do that. If we read the Bible and meditate on it and believe what it says, then our relationship with God will exponentially increase. Because that's the way God communicates us. That's His love letter to us. And so, there you go.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I didn't have anything to add. I was just agreeing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And another good place, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Matthew 6:1-18 talks about the principle of increasing your faith and how having secret, this is going to sound a little weird, but having secret disciplines is one of the practices that God instructs us to do to increase our faith. What is secret disciplines? Well, that means praying when you're alone. If the only time you ever pray is in front of people, at supper or at church or in a group meeting or a prayer meeting, you know, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with praying in those situations. But the Lord encourages us to pray when we're alone, because that's the time when we are dealing with the Lord one-on-one. We are talking with Him directly, and then we can also listen to Him and increase our relationship. So that, and then also reading our Bibles while we're alone. The only time you're encountering the Bible is in Bible study with a group of people or a church. Even though you may go to a great church that preaches right out of the Bible, the Lord still instructs you to read that Bible when you're alone. Read His scripture, meditate on His words while you are it's just you and Him. That's what He wants from you. And so read Matthew 1:18 for references to that. Anything you have to add, Kitch? Anything you want to? I was in a talkative mood tonight. I'm sorry.
Nah, that's fine. I'm not a very talkative person. I thought I was just going over this Matthew 6:1-18, and verse 7 says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." And I just kind of thought about that and realized that God's kind of saying, can you just stop repeating yourself? Can we just get to the point? And I get it. Let's move on to the next topic.
Yes.
Maybe he's probably not thinking like that, but.
So is this saying that we shouldn't be doing the rosary? Would the rosary go against this principle?
I actually don't know what the rosary sounds like, but I would think so. Or like 3 Hail Marys or whatever. That would be repetitive.
Yeah, I'm not sure that does anything for the Lord. And I don't know that it's supposed to. Maybe it's supposed to change something in our character. But it seems to go against this principle to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I'm not an expert on the subject, so. All right. Well, So much for the Shield of Faith. That was good and encouraging. Let's move on to After Chat and the lamest stuff out there, Kidge.
All right.
The lamest stuff out there.
Lamest stuff out there. Man, let's see if I can come up with the lamest stuff out there thing.
Well, I can tell you one.
Okay, I can come up with one.
Okay, what do you got?
The price of catalytic converters for a 1999 Honda Accord.
Are they ridiculously high?
$540.
Good grief. Did you call a wrecking yard?
Yeah, almost did, but, you know, they said that, oh, well, you don't, it's not actually illegal until you get your inspection done, so feel free to save up. And I said, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
So I have until August.
I'll call the wrecking yard.
Mm-hmm.
There's ones right off of I-30 over there in Dallas that that are great places to get used parts for a fraction of the cost.
You know, it's like an hour away from me.
It's worth it for...
It's like an hour away from you, too, isn't it?
Hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But they want, there was a part I needed for my Blazer, which I don't have anymore. But it was a wheel hub, and it was, my bearing went out, and it's all one big piece. And they wanted $680 just for the part. That didn't even include putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it at this place for $68.
I like it.
Yeah. So call there, and especially on the wheel hub, I was a little nervous about buying it. You know, if the wheel falls off, I'm going down the highway because I bought a cheap part. But with a catalytic converter, what do you got to lose? Right?
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So that's, yes, the price of catalytic converters. The fact that catalytic converters exist anyway is kind of, you don't have to have them on your lawnmower, do you?
I don't think so.
Why do you have to have them on your car? I don't understand that.
I
guess so, it has something to do with pollution.
Yeah, exactly. It cleans out the exhaust a little bit better.
I'll tell you some of the lamest stuff out there to me, to change the subject a little bit.
Do.
Hulu Plus.
Mm.
Now, on the surface, it's pretty cool. My nephew, came over to visit, and he put in his Hulu Plus account into my television because they were visiting for a while, like they stayed a week. And so he wanted to watch his shows. And so I said, yeah, go ahead, you know, because I didn't have an account. So he put his information into the machine there, and they watched their shows while they were here. Well, when they left, they didn't clear it. I said, well, I'm going to go see what this thing is about. I've watched Hulu before online back in the day, several years ago, but I said, I've never tried the Plus, you know. And I haven't looked at Hulu in several years because I use Netflix. And so I said, let me see if this is worth it. You know, maybe I'll turn off DirecTV and just do the Hulu Plus thing because it saved me some money. And so I started playing with it. And, yeah, there's a lot of television shows out there, but my favorite's not. Big Bang Theory is not out there. So that kind of sucks. So
gotcha.
I was like, well, that's a bummer. But then I started watching some of the other shows that they do have out there. And you pay for this. I mean, this is you're paying every month for this service, but you still have to watch the commercials.
You do?
Yes. And on top of that, you can't fast forward through them.
Yeah.
Even on my DirecTV, if I record a show, I can fast forward through it. You know, I can fast forward through the commercials. So this was like, okay, I understand doing one or the other. You know, like, you're going to get this for free, but you have to watch the commercials. Okay, all right. Or pay for this and don't watch any commercials. Okay, all right. But both? No, I'm not doing both. I'm not a both. Not on this.
No, not so much.
It's a double whammy. I'm not doing that. And so that's kind of lame. I mean, you know, you're watching the show, the commercial comes on, you got no choice. You got to sit through it. And the other bad thing is, it's the same commercial. It's the same commercial.
Always.
Always.
Same. 3-4 commercials, even if it's free.
Yeah, even if free. It's the same commercial for the whole show. So you got like 4 commercials in the show. It's always the same commercial. So frustrating. Okay, so that's that. And in a movie, and then you go to watch a movie, and you get commercials in the movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've never watched a movie on Hulu.
Just go to Netflix. just go to Netflix. So, yeah, I decided I wouldn't pay for that. I mean, if I ever do turn off DirecTV, it is a lot of money to save. So there is that to it. But I just don't know if it's worth it. There's not enough on there to make it worth it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your turn.
There's another...
Do you want a lame or you want to go on to cool?
I can't think of another lame one right now.
Okay, well, let's go on to the...
Let's do this. Okay. So, to go into one of the coolest things ever...
Okay, cool stuff out there.
And also list one of the ones you already had listed. We lost a couple... We might have lost a couple plants to the frost this weekend.
That's the lamest stuff out there.
Yeah.
Not the coolest stuff. The coldest stuff out there. But yeah, winter. Winter's still here. Uh-huh. Hello. Go away, winter. We're done with you. You can go now. It's March.
Yeah. The last frost week normally for this area was like, frost ends, beginning of last week, and then there's a frost at the end of the week. During the weekend. So,
and it's very hard on the plants because they're already starting to bloom and then they get frozen and then it's bad.
Especially if you just planted them. And so they're not established yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And the trees, the young trees, it's bad for them because they can't handle it when they go to put out their little blooms and then it freezes.
Yep.
So.
Exactly. So we have a couple leaves that are frostbitten and
bummer.
We'll see how they do. But that leads me into
yes.
a cool thing. Swifty and I went to the county garden show this weekend.
Did you freeze to death?
It was really cold. We had to leave and go get another jacket because we didn't think we needed a jacket. So for the first 2 hours, we were trading my jacket back and forth. But it was pretty cool. It had a bunch of classes about, here's how you start your own vegetable garden in the backyard, and here's the best way of composting and doing irrigation and growing herbs and what sort of herbs grow well in this soil and this climate and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Cool.
And there are a bunch of vendors and a John Deere display, and it was nice. Very cool. Out in a barn.
Did you get to play on the John Deere?
No.
They let you up on it or anything?
They would've. Yeah. I didn't want to.
Oh. Why not?
Because I can't afford Netflix. Why would I afford a John Deere?
You didn't look like you could afford one, so they weren't going to let you up on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Uh-huh. Well, so you're all into the farming thing, huh? Is that your future?
I guess I'll announce to the world premiere. It's been something that has been brewing in my mind a whole lot the past couple weeks, past couple months. So maybe.
I was raised on a farm.
I know.
It's a lot of work.
You're raised on a dairy.
It's a lot of work.
Yes. I know. I actually had the thought. What's that? A lot
Good
of work?
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I actually had this whole thought about farming and that sort of stuff the day before the Super Bowl. And then they had that So God Made a Farmer commercial. And it was just...
Oh, yeah.
It was
a very
eerie sort of a happenstance.
That was a cool commercial.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
What else?
So,
that's all you got?
That's all I got so far, yeah.
So, on the kids' list is farming of coolest stuff out there.
I could probably think of some other things.
You are hip and happening, buddy. That's a hipster thing to say, though, so I guess it is. It's hip to be square these days.
I had a pint of Guinness on St. Patty's Day.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'll raise a toast to you.
Uh-huh. Sláinte.
So let me update. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about a Bible app called Paul Avery. Well, it's not called Paul Avery. The Bible app is called Holy Bible, but it's made by Paul Avery, and that's kind of how you can find it on the iTunes store. And I listed it as the final solution, basically. It is really cool. I love how the bookmarks work and how I can create these tags that create a folder, and so I can just skip through some verses. I have several references, whatever. So it works really well. I've been using it to do the chapel at church when I do the devotional there. And at school, not church. But, it's at a church, but it's with the school. But I wanted to go ahead and include another one, which is very similar. To me, I don't think it's as elegant. Well, let me get into that. This one was sent to me by John Wilkerson. He's the Jesus geek. And he has a show called The Wired Homeschool, if you want to check that out.
He's actually going to be interviewing Blimey Cow, I saw on Twitter.
Oh, too cool. That is awesome.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So if you don't, yeah. And Blimey Cow is another one we've covered under Coolest Stuff Out There. So there you go. And I would say John Wilkerson can fit under the Coolest Stuff Out There if you want to.
Yeah, sure.
We'll put him on the list. All right. Well, he's a great guy. Well, anyway, he sent me this one, and it's laid out a little different than mine, and I kind of like the way it's laid out. It's got basically three, instead of the Holy Bible, I'm going to call it the Paul Avery Bible app, and I'm going to call this one the Me Bible. Okay, so keep them straight. On the Paul Avery Bible app, there's really just two panels. There's like a left and a right, and you can make it so there's just one, and so there's just a central panel, and then you can read through there. This one is really based on having three. It divides the screen up into three parts, and so you have a Bible on the left, a Bible on the right, and then notes and things at the bottom. And the section at the bottom then can be, you can make it larger or smaller. It's kind of cool. You can move that up and down. And if you want to be reading from that, you can actually just move it up onto the screen and read from there. And then when you're done, you can pull it back down and get back to your scripture. The sections on the right and the left are, it can be changed out so that you can have a commentary on the left, just the same way as on the Bible app from Paul Avery. You can have a commentary on the right and the Bible on the left. You can have references on the right, Bible on the left, or you can have two different versions of the Bible, right and left. Okay, so that's how that works. And so in that way, it's very similar, except for the nice little feature. The only thing that really I thought that was really better in this app was that section at the bottom, where you have the stuff on the screen and the notes that you can pull up and down. Now, the parts that are kind of, I don't like, it's free to get it, so you can get it, you can try it out, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. And cool. Paul Avery's the same way. But just like Paul Avery, you don't get the cool stuff. You get to try out the format of it, but if you want... Yeah. If you want the commentaries, if you want the concordances, if you want the net notes, you got to pay for those separate. And that's because he has to pay for them too. The app has to pay for those things. Those things are not
right
free. So when so he's just passing that cost on through. So you got to buy those. But the bad thing is you've already bought them. If I've already bought them for one app, so I'm not going to buy them again for another app. And the other thing that this has, the other nice thing about this is it has different layouts. And the one that comes with it is very, very lame. And it's probably very, very lame on purpose, okay? Because they want you to buy the other ones. It's called Look and Feel. And it comes with four, which are all of them are very similar. And basically, there's a magnified one, which makes the text huge in case you wear glasses or don't want to have to put your glasses on. There's a bedtime version, which turns the words white and the background black. And then there's a standard and a modern, which are pretty much the same. However, if you look down to the purchased styles, there's some very pretty ones. It's like if you go into elegant, it's just really nice. And the fonts and the backgrounds are very pretty. And there's one called Fancy, and there's one that, I mean, there's just several that he's put a lot of work into. And of course, of all those, you have to pay for.
Of course.
Of course. And they're all about 99 cents. So that's not too bad, but,
still.
So by the time you get all the, a nice font that you don't mind staring at for hours, and with a cool background, and then get all the commentaries and stuff, you're going to be at about $10, which is about the same as the Paul Avery. Okay. But this one does have the advantage of having that, that bar at the bottom that lets you have notes, your own personal notes down there so that you can be following along in the text and look at your notes all at the same time. Whereas the Paul Avery app does not have that feature. And so that's a nice feature. So just keep in mind, you can try it out for free. It's called Me Bible. But to make it really useful, if you're going to lead a Bible study off this, or if you're going to preach off this, if you're going to do devotionals from this, then you're going to want these other things, and it's all together. When by the time it's said and done, you're going to be out $10. So try that out, check it out. That's That's my coolest stuff out there tip for the week. If you like iPads, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know if it's available on that's one thing I do not know. I really don't know how to find out if there's a Android app for that. Because I don't know if there's a website. There's no website listed to go to. So.
Oh, well.
I guess I could just type it into Google and Google that.
Yeah.
But, so you tell me about the coolest, one of your coolest things out there, and I'll, do you have a coolest thing out there?
Have you ever heard of the game Cross Me?
Cross Me.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It is available on iOS, I believe.
Okay, so it's available on both Android and iOS. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like Sudoku, kind of, but it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with numbers. You don't have to worry about math or anything like that.
Okay.
It is. You. It gives you like the Sudoku line thing. Only it's a each big chunk is a 5x5 square.
Okay.
And there are numbers on the side that tell you how many of those blocks are filled in consecutively. And so you have to go through and fill in these blocks until and cross out, okay, I can't put a block here because that interferes with the vertical bar, but I can put a bar here because that works with the vertical bar and the horizontal bar. And so they all line up, so I know that I can put a block right there. And after you spend an hour or more putting blocks in here and process of elimination and deduction and all that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. you're left with a picture. And
okay.
So it's all a matter of trying to figure out what the picture is.
Oh, okay.
And that sort of thing.
What's it called again? Cross?
Cross Me.
Cross Me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes.
That sounds like fun.
It is fun. It's okay. Very easy to
And that's
get
Android.
Lost in
that's
it.
Android and Apple. Or Android and
yeah.
iOS. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And by the way, the Me Bible is only available for the iPad. Sorry.
Right. This is available for Android, iPhone, and iPad.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make an effort to only put things in the coolest stuff out there that are available on both. But when
All right.
I'm going to try to make an effort for that. But if something real, really, really stands out, mm-hmm. then I'll mention it. But okay, so let's talk about documentaries, because you watched a cool documentary and I watched a couple of cool documentaries, and so mm-hmm. that's another topic that that I'm passionate about is good documentaries.
Yes.
So the one I saw, I'm just going to do one tonight. I'll put the other one for next week. But the one I saw was Holes in My Shoes. It was a story of a man named Jack Beers, I think is his last name. And it was incredible. I don't want to tell you too much about the documentary because it's sort of I don't want to spoil it for you. It's one of those things you kind of learn, you kind of figure out what it is as you go along, but you mm-hmm. got to stay with it because at first the documentary is really slow and you're like, why am I watching a documentary about this man? and then as the documentary progresses, you find out why you're watching a documentary about this man. Oh, I didn't, you know, and you keep having these oh moments during this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but at the very first of it, especially the first scene, you're just like, okay, this is a little weird. I'm not sure I'm in, you know, what? Why? What is this? But by uh-huh. the time you get about 20 minutes into it, you're kind of interested. You're like, oh, that's a pretty cool guy, you know? And then at an hour, you're like, oh, wow, he's pretty incredible. Whoa, wow, you know? And by the time mm-hmm. you get to the end of the documentary, you're like, that is the coolest documentary I've ever seen. You know, now I've got to give small warning here. Uh-huh. It is kids friendly, but there he's a Jewish, he's an old Jewish man, and he doesn't mince words too much. And he there is some light cussing. I mean, there's not a lot of vulgar. What am I trying to say? He doesn't say vulgar things, mm-hmm. but there is some cussing in, you know, in his statements and stuff. And so, you know, like S and, you know, he says dang and he says shoot and he says stuff like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so that, I just put that warning out there because if you have small kids and you want to watch a good documentary with them, I mean, this is really a, you know, 13 plus kind of documentary. So, There you go. And some of this, I mean, the subject matter though is very kids friendly, the whole documentary. So,
oh, good.
All right, and but I don't want to tell you too much about it because it kind of ruins it. It's one of those discovery documentaries where you just kind of find out, you know, as you go along.
Sure.
So, that's called Holes in My Shoes. It is available on Netflix. I found it under the newly added Holes in My Shoes. There you go.
There you go.
And it's the story of Jack Beers. All right, your turn.
I saw a documentary, but I don't remember what it's called.
It was a farming documentary, you
yes.
said.
Yes. Yeah. It went into the way that the American like the USDA and mm-hmm. farming associations all lean towards regulating big agriculture farms. So like the people who have hundreds of acres and all they do is grow corn.
Like Sonoma, what's the big one?
I don't know.
What's so, the big company that produces all the corn?
I don't know.
Okay,
no
go
idea.
Ahead.
So, Nebraska, right? I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry to all Nebraska listeners, but it talked about how, you know, you could have how there's this surge of homesteaders, which are people who have just a small farm mm-hmm. that's able to sustain themselves and make a little bit of a profit from farmers markets and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the reasons behind these people. So for instance, raw milk has all sorts of good bacteria in it and extra protein and vitamins and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's called Farmageddon.
There you go.
Thank you, Swifty. And so you can drink the raw milk and it's good for you, but it's possible that something like botulism can be found in it.
That's not something. Good.
I don't remember what it's called. What is it called?
Botulism you get
I don't know.
From honey.
Whatever. But, yeah. So way back in the past there was something where they were getting raw milk from sick cows, and so it made sick raw milk, and so kids died off of it. No. It was spoiled milk, and so people got sick off of it, and so pasteurization came into case, and so they made everything is required to be pasteurized, mm-hmm. and now you can't. There are states where it is illegal to buy raw milk.
Wow.
It's even if you want to make the choice of I want to have raw milk.
Not in Texas.
Yeah, right.
Not in Texas.
Yeah, Texas you can get raw milk.
Yes.
But you can also not carry raw milk across state borders.
Because we are a free state.
Right. and so all these different things of small farms getting shut down because they are doing things the natural way of how it was originally designed by God. And since the bigger farms, that causes all sorts of issues because it's worse conditions for the livestock or they're using all sorts of pesticides and herbicides and mm-hmm. antibiotics and all sorts of stuff. Because they're doing all that, they have all these other regulations that they need to be put in. Mm-hmm. And so because there's these new regulations, small farms are suffering from it.
Hmm.
And it was definitely very eye-opening. So.
Cool.
Yes.
I watched one about farming. It was called King Corn, and that was the one that was about that company. And they have a copyright on a genetic version of corn, and their corn got into somebody else's field and contaminated his corn, and then they uh-huh. sued him for raising their corn and won.
Yeah,
and that was a very frustrating documentary to watch because it was like it just made you mad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so. Cool. Well, there's a lot of food-based, I would say food-based documentaries on Netflix that are really good, like that King Corn, mm-hmm. Food Inc. Those are really good to watch and make. And there's another one about vitamins that's really good. I forgot the name of it, but those are all really good, encouraging. Especially what's the vitamin one called? I think I've talked about it before, but those are good ones to watch if you want to eat healthier because they encourage you to do that. make you bleed. And I think that one of the great things about, you know, organic, I think the organic movement is super important, and having cage free animals is super important, and to our health. I mean, I just think before we lose all the ungenetic altered animals, that we need to be sure we're getting those. And the small farmer is a big part of that. And I'm encouraged that at least we live in a culture where people are willing to pay a little bit more for the products of a small farmer. Because I live in a county where, for 60 or 70 years, we produced more milk in this county than anywhere else in the United States, even Wisconsin, even California.
Wow.
And it was all small dairy farms, this entire county, Hopkins County, and even the surrounding counties were dairy farms. I mean, you drove down the road and it was dairy farm after dairy farm after dairy farm after dairy farm. I mean, just every, it was really weird when I would go to a different part of the state or different part of the country and look out and there would be land that was not being used. I mean, I didn't realize there was land unused in the United States. It just didn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you weren't raising hay on it or raising corn on it to feed to cows, then you were raising cows. I mean, it just, that was just what happened around in this county. There was no spare land. Yeah, everything was a farm. And, then what happened in the late 80s, when the milk prices began to fall and the feed prices began to rise, these large dairy farms came in and basically put everybody else out of business. I mean, it was – and so now we actually have – well, as of 10 years ago, we had almost the same number of cattle in the county as we had before, as we had 20 years before. But one-tenth the farms.
Oh, man.
Because all the farms were huge, and all the farms, uh-huh, and all the farms were dry, and all the farms were dry out, and the land, and that's not necessarily a bad thing that the land is gone. I mean, now you drive down the road and it's just empty fields. I mean, mm-hmm, they're doing nothing. You know, I mean, and in this county, that's just unheard of. And and a lot of beef cattle too here now.
Oh, sure.
That wasn't here before, but. So, and those big giant dairies, that's 200 cows is about all one family can manage. You know, one guy can manage about 200 cows, and you get over that and you're going to have unhealthy cows. I mean, because you can't know that many cows, you can't know the routines and the mannerisms of every cow. So your sick cows are just going to get sick, and then they're going to make other cows sick. And then, but these people have thousands of cows, you know, and they have, and so they have to have employees to help. And so it's a business, you know, not a family. It's not a family organization anymore. And I don't think there's any, I do know of two. I know two dairies that are still in operation that are family run, and the rest are all big business, corporate.
Sigh.
Corporate owned. Yeah. So, but the fact that we're willing to pay more for organic milk, the fact that we're willing to pay more for milk from a small dairy, I think is encouraging, mm-hmm, and that maybe things will swing back a little bit that way.
Yep.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to go on that tear. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Sorry about that. All right. Well, that's it for the lamest stuff out there and the coolest stuff out there. And
indeed,
we did winter. I'm not going to do that. Customer service is lame. We all know that. All right. Did you do just one more thing under lame? You did winter and Hulu Plus. Did you do another thing under lame? I thought you did another thing under lame.
What was it that I did under lame?
If y'all want to catch out some of these, we listed everything in the show notes. So plus, in addition to the scripture that we talked about. So be sure you check out the show notes for that. Also, we have created a Google Plus community, and I'll be, we're going to, t- I want to do it right, right yet, but I think we're going to try to make it public. And then we will be posting our recording times, and maybe we'll do some live broadcasts, because I know that's something fun to do. So we don't edit anything anyway, so we might as well.
Yeah, right.
And all right. Well, thanks, kids, for joining me tonight.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's all I got. Vios con Dios.
Vios con Dios.
You going to be here next week, next Tuesday?
I suppose.
Okay. Hopefully Robert will be back, and we'll have a good time. All right. Vios con Dios, everybody.
See ya.